Welcome to Notes from the Electronic Cottage for the first Thursday of September 2013. I'm Jim Campbell. You'd have to be pretty much living under a rock not to have heard about the documentation regarding the activities of the NSA, the National Security Agency, that Edward Snowden has been releasing slowly through the Guardian newspaper in England and the Washington Post in the United States. Unfortunately, the government, aided by most of the mainstream press, has tried to make the story not about what the government is doing in those documents, but about the way that the documents have been made public. When you don't want anyone paying attention to the information in the documents, try talking about the person who made them available. It's the old story, shoot the messenger. Well, here at the Electronic Cottage, we're more interested in the information that those documents contain. Perhaps a very brief review of what we've learned about NSA activities might be in order, without the blather about whether Edward Snowden is a hero or a traitor or something else. So, what do we know, and what don't we know, about the activities of the NSA with regard to collecting information about the phone calls and emails of Americans on American soil? Actually, we know very little. Since so much surrounding NSA surveillance is secret, including the administration's interpretation of the law which supposedly allows a lot of NSA's data collection that's underway right now. That's right, the Obama administration will not even let us know how it interprets the law that supposedly authorizes these NSA activities. Imagine that a town told you that there were certain no parking zones, and you'll get a fine if you park there, but the town won't say where those zones are. You get the idea. We do, however, know a few things. First of all, it's important to note that the NSA is a military agency, a part of the Department of Defense. Its director must be at least a vice admiral or a lieutenant general. This is one reason that the agency's mandate is not to operate within the United States. Its job is foreign intelligence, at least in theory. The agency's director reports to the Director of National Intelligence. We do know that both the Director of National Intelligence and the NSA director told Congress, when specifically asked back in the spring, that the NSA was not gathering information on Americans by collecting phone or email information on those not accused of a crime related to a terrorist activity. A few months later, as the NSA documents provided by Snowden were made public, it became clear that these officials had lied to congressional committees. We also know for sure that the NSA is collecting metadata about wireless cell phone calls placed through Verizon in the United States, and it's subsequently become clear that this is true about all cell phone calls, and in fact, about all telephone calls, period. But in the case of phone calls, what does metadata actually mean? Washington officials, from Mr. Obama through congressional leaders to officials in various spy agencies, say repeatedly that no one is listening in to your phone calls. We're only collecting metadata, they say. We're not violating your privacy. Don't worry, trust us. Metadata itself, however, tells quite a story about our lives. Metadata includes who you called, how long you talked with them, when you called, who you called before and who you called after, and with cell phones, where you were when you placed a call. Did you, for example, call a drug help hotline? Maybe you're an addict. Did you call an anonymous tip hotline to report a problem in your company or an anonymous police hotline looking for tips from the public? Guess what? You're not so anonymous anymore. Or consider this scenario provided by Princeton computer science professor and security researcher Edward Felton as part of a lawsuit filed by the ACLU trying to get the practice of NSA metadata collection without a specific warrant declared unconstitutional. Quote, consider the following hypothetical example. A young woman calls her gynecologist, then immediately calls her mother, then calls a man who, during the past few months, she'd repeatedly spoken to on the telephone after 11 p.m. followed by a call to a family planning center that also offers abortions. A likely storyline emerges that would not be as evident by examining the record of a single telephone call. End quote. Or, metadata could show who a reporter that did an expose on corruption, for example, had been talking to, even though the reporter promised his or her sources anonymity. In other words, even if, and that unfortunately is a big if at this point, the government is not listening into the content of phone calls, the metadata associated with the calls, especially metadata collected over time, can tell a very precise story about how people live their lives. Note, by the way, that the NSA admits to keeping this metadata information for 5 years. Similarly, email messages, even if the contents are not looked at directly, can tell a very interesting story about who you've been in contact with, when, how big the message was, whether you sent text, audio, photos, video, or other types of information, where you sent it from, and where it went to. It doesn't take a lot of imagination to sketch out how much this kind of information can tell about you, your family, your friends, your activities, and even your religious or political beliefs. The response by government officials to these revelations has basically been that there are all kinds of controls in place to make sure that our personal privacy is protected. Except that now we know it isn't. The NSA's own internal audits show thousands of infractions in just a single year, and even a judge on the FISA court, which supposedly oversees the implementation of this law, reported that the NSA, quote, frequently and systematically violated, end quote, its own oversight requirements. Bottom line, based on the tiny bit we actually do know, it seems that information about anything any American communicates through email or over the phone, whether a landline or a wireless phone, is being collected by the NSA. And by the way, before you get too excited about sending things through the U.S. mail as an alternative, keep in mind that every envelope that passes through the mail system is photographed so that there's a record of the sender's and the recipient's addresses. So, what to do? Well, that depends on whether you think it's a good idea for the government to know almost everything about you, and you know almost nothing about the government. There are now 11 bills in Congress to increase oversight or to reduce the scope of NSA data collection. You may want to let your Congress people know your thoughts on the subject if those bills ever do get out of committee. Stay tuned. We'll keep following developments in this arena as well as in other areas of digital life right here on future editions of Notes from the Electronic Cottage.